After months of false start, the new Iraqi prime minister and his cabinet took the oath of office today in Baghdad. Prime Minister Ibrahim al-Jafari and 30 of his cabinet ministers pledged before the National Assembly to defend Iraq from terrorism and to unite its people. Despite all the wrangling, 7 slots remain empty, including the key positions of oil minister and minister of defense. Questions remain over who will fill those vacant jobs and how the fledgling government will cope with escalating violence. Carol Murphy is a reporter for The Washington Post. She joins us now on the line from Baghdad. Nice of you to stay up to speak with us this evening.
Hi, Neil.
How significant is today's swearing-in ceremony for the people of Iraq?
Well, symbolically, this is probably the most important step that's been taken in the last 3 months, because now the cabinet ministers have not only been chosen, but they've sworn on the Quran today to fulfill their duty. Of course, there are some tasks that need to be finished. Jafari has to still fill 3 of the positions in his cabinet with members of the Sunni Arab community. And actually, this held up the ceremony for about an hour today because there was last-minute negotiations going on over who might become the defense minister. However, another Sunni Arab faction has agreed to cooperate and did offer 3 names, and they were accepted by Jafari's political coalition. So we have here, what happened today is really indicative of where the Sunni Arabs stand. They're very divided. So one faction withheld its people. The other faction joined in the swearing ceremony.
Now, how does this cabinet divide positions? Well, you've talked to some about the Sunnis, but between Shias and the Kurds, the other big ethnic group who live in the north of Iraq there.
Well, obviously, because of the elections in which Prime Minister Ibrahim Jafari's alliance won a slim majority of about 140 seats in the 275-seat assembly, they get the lion's share of the cabinet, and they have about 15 ministries. The Kurds came in second in the elections, and they have about 75 seats in the parliament, and they get about 7 ministries.
There is also questions about the divide between religious fundamentalists and secular cabinet officers. What's the divide there, or can you tell?
Well, I might, you know, every ethnic group in Iraq has people who go from religious-oriented politics to secular-oriented politics. And this is very true of the majority group, the Shiites. So within the Shiites, and in fact within Jafari's own political coalition, you do find secular Shiites like Ahmed Talabi, and then you find the religious leaders like Abdulaziz Hakim. So the divide is very difficult to simplify. It's there, and it's certainly going to come into play when this government begins drafting the perfect constitution for Iraq.
And drafting that new constitution is its primary task. The fact that they spent more than 3 months wrangling over the positions in this transitional cabinet, what does that suggest about the difficulties of putting together a constitution?
It suggests that it's going to be a long, tedious, torturous process. And in all likelihood, they will not meet the deadline that's already in the interim constitution of August, mid-August. The interim constitution, however, gives them a one-time loophole of extending it one time for 6 months. So most people here are expecting them to take advantage of that one-time extension.
Carol Murphy, thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Carol Murphy, a reporter for The Washington Post. She joined us by phone from her office in Baghdad. By the way, if you were listening to our conversation about the shark from Monterey Bay, there are photos and a link to video of the shark at our website. Just go to www.npr.org. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.